Powerful Sfarno, short and sweet. This is towards the beginning of the Parsha, where Yosef is in the pit, and it's already been a couple of years, even since his last attempt to get out. And the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Paro, Vayikra es Yosef. So Paro called for Yosef, Vayiritzuhu min habor. They rushed him like rats. They rushed him from the pit, Vayigalach, Vayichalef simosav. He was shaved and changed his clothes, Vayaval Paro. So the Sforno writes, Vayiritzuhu al min habor, Kederach kol tshuas Hashem, Shenaseis kimo rega. Like all the yeshuos of Hashem that happen in a moment. Ki'amro, ki krova yeshua si lavo, like the Pasuk says, my Yeshua is close. Now I think what he means, right, that's a very famous Pasuk we say in Yeshayahu on Atinus. And what I think he means is Karov doesn't just mean that it's going to be soon. Maybe it's not going to be soon. But it means that it could happen at any moment. In other words, a person should always feel that they're not necessarily far from redemption. Because at any point in time, at any moment, the redemption could come. And that's the idea of Ayritzuhu min habor, as he's going to explain. And likewise, Uke'amro, Ami shomeali v'chule, kimat oivehem, Kimat oivehem achnia. And there's another pasuk, which you have here in a footnote. The second pasuk is Koma Hashem, Shemu Mishpat Vasut Tachaki Krova Yosi Lavo Vitzikasi Ligalo. So that's the pasuk that it could happen at any moment. And the first one, Hinani Shaleach Malachi Ufina Derech Lefanai Upisom Yaval Hechalo. Right? Pisom. It'll happen quickly, out of the blue. There's a famous thing that a lot of people say. My grandfather said all the time, which is not, as far as I know, a pasuk or a memra in Chazal, which is why he doesn't quote it, but Yeshua Hashem Karafayim, which reflects the same idea. The Yeshua could come in the blink of an eye. And so he continues, V'kach haya inyan Mitzrayim ke'amro ki garshu mi Mitzrayim. Likewise in Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were expelled from Mitzrayim ke'amram zal shelo hispik betzekan shel avoseinu lahachmetz. Right, the time, we didn't have time for the dough to rise. V'chein amrar la'asos la'asid ke'amro pis'om yavol hechalo, like we just saw, asher atem mevakshim. So what's the idea here? The idea here is when it was time for Yosef to be redeemed, when his time in jail had expired, boom, he left. There was no delay. V'ritzu min habor. The ritza was because he wasn't going to stay even 1 minute longer in prison beyond what was supposed to. And likewise, we should recognize that when the time for the geula comes, we won't stay 1 moment longer. Now, I think we could add to this, which is, when we say it could happen at any moment, there may be many things building up to it, right? In the case of Yosef, it was the fact that the interpretation of the dreams, and then the Sarmashkin remembered him eventually, in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. There'll be many things leading up to the Geula. But what he's implying is that when the Geula actually comes, it's going to take us by surprise, and it's going to happen immediately, and there's going to be no delay. It's not going to, you know, the galus won't last one second longer than it's supposed to. And that's the idea of, again, like my grandfather used to say, Yeshias Hashem Karafayin, V'yiritzuhu min habor. Okay. The next topic I want to deal with you is really the central, most difficult question in our parsha, and that is, why does Yosef torture his brothers? What is he hoping to accomplish with all of the shenanigans, planting the cup, and then telling them to bring back Binyamin and all these things. So maybe we would say this is revenge. I think that's not really possible for a number of reasons. First of all, Yosef was a tzaddik, and that would be behinus. But even if that didn't bother you, so there are much more basic questions, which is, you see throughout that he doesn't have the emotional state of someone seeking revenge, right? He frequently has to retreat to cry, right? He can't keep his composure. He has such emotion and sadness. There's no anger. And especially, as soon as he finally does reveal himself, he immediately forgives them. He tells them he's not at all angry at them. It's not you who've done this, right? It's Hashem who did it. And therefore, he even, you know, sends them gifts and gives them, protects them, loves them, kisses them. So there's no indication of revenge. So it doesn't seem like revenge is a possibility. So what is the reason? So the Ramban, it's actually in next week's Parsha, the Ramban writes the following, Pasuk, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Tes. Vayizkur Yosef es hachalamos asher chalam lahem. So this is what it says when Yosef sees his brothers, and he comes up with this plan. What does it say? He remembers the dreams. V'yada sheniskaimu. First he quotes Rashi. He's seen that they've been fulfilled. Shaharei yishtachavu lo, they cry, they bow to him, lashon Rashi. So Rashi understands that. What does it mean he remembered the dreams? He notices that the dreams have been fulfilled. Says the Ramban, ulfidaiti shavdavar behefach. It's actually the exact opposite. When he sees his brothers bowing, he remembered the dreams, and neither one is fulfilled in this time. Why? Because how many brothers were bowing? 10. And for the first dream to be fulfilled, how many brothers would need to bow? 11. And we'll see the Ramban is going to explain, and we'll read it inside in a moment, that the purpose of all of Yosef's shenanigans is to ensure the fulfillment of the dreams. That's fascinating. Now, before we read on in the Ramban, there's an obvious objection that you could raise. And it really is the implication of this pasuk, right? The pasuk says that Yosef sees them, he remembers the dreams, and then he immediately starts to do this plan where he accuses them of being spies and the like. So the question is, you know, what gave Yosef right to do this? Assuming that this is, you know, he knew that this is going to cause them pain, and as the Ramban is going to point out in a moment, it will even certainly cause his father more pain, right? He knew it would cause. So what right did he have to do this? And in fact, the Akedas Yitzchak rejects Ramban for this reason. Akedas Yitzchak of Yitzchak Arama says, look, you know, that's not a reason to do this. Let Hashem carry out his own plans. If this is Hashem's plans, so that's God's job. We don't have to make sure that it happened. So what was the Ramban assuming? So we're going to see the Ramban is going to explain it in a moment, but just jump for a moment to a statement of the Gra, which you have a little later on, towards the top of page 2, where the Gra writes, and this is from the Adaras Eliyahu, and Parak Membeis Pasuk Tes, so right over here, he writes, Ulekach Ekdima Torah Vayizkor Hachalomos. The reason why the Torah precedes Yosef's plan with the statement, and he remembered the dreams, like the Ramban says, to show that what he did was from due to his righteousness, the kuimu hachalomos, such that the dreams will be fulfilled, shelo lahachesh ratzon begzeres elyon, so as not to contradict the divine will, v'zeu klal haTorah, is a very powerful statement. This is like the klal of the Torah, meaning to say, the klal of the Torah, the idea of the Torah is for us to try to do what we can to be mekayim gzeres Hashem, ratzon Hashem. And Yosef knew that these were not any old dreams. These were prophetic dreams. These were dreams that he had that reflected the divine will. And therefore, it was his job, even without a formal command, to do what he can to carry out the divine will. And that's true even though it's going to cause pain to his brothers and father. We'll see. The Ramban might have a similar idea in a couple of other places. One of them, which if we have time, we'll discuss a little later. But the Ramban discusses elsewhere, in the Bris Bein Ebersharim, an interesting question, which is, why is it that the Egyptians were punished for enslaving the Jewish people if, after all, that was God's plans? So the Rambam gives an answer. The Rambam says, well, while this was going to happen, but each individual Egyptian still had free will. They didn't have to do it. It didn't have to be Egypt. It didn't have to be any particular Egyptian. You know, presumably not every Egyptian threw their Jewish children into the river. The Ramban and the Raya both reject that. And the Ramban implies that since this is Ratzon Hashem, had Paro actually done it, certainly L'shem Shemayim, it would have been a mitzvah. Right? Even though there was no tzivoy, it's a fascinating idea, even though there was no formal command, God did not say to Paro, go persecute the Jews. But if he persecuted the Jews in order to fulfill that divine decree, Ratzon Hashem, that would have been a mitzvah. Except clearly that wasn't his intention. How do we know, among other things? First of all, we don't know that he was aware of the Bris Bein Ebersharim. But even if he was, he went ahead and persecuted farther more than necessary. He murdered them, and he didn't let them go when God said to go. So obviously he wasn't acting L'shem Shemayim. And doing something of that nature, Shelo L'shem Shemayim, is now an Avera. But if it were L'shem Shemayim, it would have been a mitzvah. And likewise, since Yosef was acting L'shem Shemayim, it is a mitzvah. Now, an interesting question to discuss, maybe we can consider a little later, is, you know, are there any limits to that? If I think it's God's will for me to do, to persecute somebody, so does that give me the right to do so? So the answer probably has to do with the fact that, what do you mean, I think? Who says I'm right? In the case of the Bris Bein Ebersharim, in the case of Yosef, these were prophecies. Prophecies are different. Even when there's no, again, when there's no formal command. So now we'll turn back to the Ramban. So the Ramban, yeah, you want this question?
So I was just thinking of like Pnina and Chana, you know,
Right, so Pnina was very different. Pnina never had a nevuah that she should persecute Chana. So even if she was Mechavenes L'shem Shamayim, that's not right. You know, one of the things, I think a theme that you see in last week's parsha is that a lot of times people might be mechavin l'shem shemayim and still do very bad things, right? The shvatim selling Yosef. So I think we didn't quite get to it, but on the sheets from last week, the Sforno says how they're mechavin l'shem shemayim. They thought Yosef had a din of a rodef, and Yosef, by telling the father Yaakov about what they did, he was also mechavin l'shem shemayim, but it was also wrong. In fact, according to Chazal that Rashi quotes, Ashes Potiphar was Mechavenes L'Shem Shemayim, right? Doesn't mean it was right either. So a person, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. A person could do horrible things, and the fact that they're acting L'Shem Shemayim doesn't make it right. So how is this different? So the simple answer is, maybe we'll elaborate upon this, but the simple answer is that Yosef wasn't just Mechavin L'shem Shemayim, but he had a nevuah. And because of that, that made it different. Now again, even though the nevuah didn't say, obviously we all understand if there's a tzivui to do something that's generally immoral, you have to listen. Like in the story of Akedas Yitzchak, that's not so much of a chiddush. This is a bigger chiddush because Yosef didn't get a nevuah in which he was told, like Avram Avinu, you know, go torture your brothers. But still, since through prophecy he knew this was Ratzon Hashem, so then doing all that he could to carry that out is considered a mitzvah, even though it involved hurting people along the way. So let's read the Ramban inside. So back to where we left off after the bold. Ki yodea bepistronam, ki kol achav yishtachavu lo betchila min achalom harishon. He knew from the first dream that all the brothers would bow to him. V'hine, anachnu malumim alumim, ki anachnu yirmoz l'chalachav echadasar, because the term anachnu implies all the brothers, all 11 of them would bow. U'pam sheni shishtach v'lo ha-shemesh v'yarech v'chadas ha-kochavim min ha-chalom ha-sheni. And the second dream would only be fulfilled when the sun and the moon also bow to him. Now, what's interesting here, hopefully we'll have a chance to discuss, but definitely worth thinking about, is when was the second dream ever fulfilled? Well, the first dream, we definitely have the text tell us that it was fulfilled. When? When 11 brothers bow down. When Yamin finally comes down, right, and bows. Next week's Parsha. But where do we find Yaakov bowing? And if not Rachel and Bilhah, right? Where do we find them bowing? So if we have time, we'll talk about that. Avikevan shelo rab ben yamin imahem, chashav zos hatachbula. So since he saw ben yamin was not with them, he came up with this plan, shi'alil alehem, that he would make a charge, a false charge against them, kedei shi'aviyu gam ben yamin achav, elav, l'kayem ha'chalom ha'rishon tchila, so that they would bring down Binyamin to fulfill the first dream first. Valkein, lo ratza lagid lahem ani Yosef achechem. That's why Yosef did not want to immediately tell them, I'm Yosef, your brother. V'leimor maharuva alu esavi, and say quickly, bring down my father. V'ishlach ha'galos, and send the wagons, kasher asayim ahem b'fam ha'shni, as he did the second time. Ki haya aviv ba'miyad b'lo safek, surely his father would have come immediately. Whereas, as soon as the first dream was fulfilled, then he told them to fulfill the second dream. Now, that too is not immediate, right? There's actually another aspect of the story that we have to figure out. All 11 brothers go down, they bow, but Yosef continues the charade, right? He sends back the cup, plants it in Binyamin's bag, right? One thing that we don't know, according to this Mahalich, is what was the purpose of that part of the story. So hopefully we'll get to that, right? This explains the first half of Yosef's plot, right? Remember again, what happened? Yosef goes ahead, the 10 brothers come down, he accuses them of being spies, he holds on to Shimon, the 9 brothers come back, say, we need Binyamin to release Shimon. Yaakov says no. They wait. The famine increases. Finally, Yaakov relents to Yehuda. He sends down Binyamin. Shimon's released. All 11 brothers are bowing. That's a fulfillment of the first dream. Now, according to Ramban's thesis, what should happen now? He should reveal himself and then send them back for Yaakov so that the second dream could be fulfilled. Instead, he has this nice meal, everybody's happy, they drink, he sends them off, he plants the cup in Binyamin, he brings them back down, and then after that very intense situation with Yehuda, he reveals himself. So that second part, we don't know why it would be. We'll get to it shortly. Okay. The Lule Cain, Haya Yosef Chote Chet Gadol Letzaires Aviv Lamido Yamim Rabim B'Shikul the Avel Al Shimon Ve'Alav. Because if it were not for that reason, what Yosef did would have been a horrible thing to cause Yaakov to suffer additional time due to, you know, his loss of Yosef, and now adding to that Shimon's incarceration. Now, even if you were to grant that his goal was to pain his brothers a little bit for what they did, why did he not have compassion on his poor old father? Right? You see, he's clearly worried throughout the story. His father might even die. You know, how's my father doing? But each thing he did appropriately, L'kayem ha'chalomos, to cause the fulfillment of the dreams, ki yadash yiskaymu be'emes, because he knew they would be fulfilled. Oh. And otherwise, you know, you have this question why Yosef, anyway, all these years, did not, he's going to make this point later, send a, you know, a postcard to Yaakov. I understand why, you know, when he was in jail, he couldn't have done so. And maybe even while he was working for Potiphar. But certainly once he becomes the viceroy of Egypt, he had, you know, he had the ability to send a messenger to find Yaakov and tell him he's alive. And the answer is, presumably according to the Ramban, there might be other answers, but according to the Ramban, the answer is, because again, he wanted to ensure the fulfillment of the dreams. Yeah, you had a question.
So it's just interesting because in the Parsha before, there's a midrash that says, I forgot who says it, but that Yosef actually got in trouble for like trying to fulfill God's plan by reminding the Sar Mashkin, like, remember me.
That's a very interesting question.
So, like, yeah. He's so...
Very fascinating. So Rashi says at the end of the Parsha that Yosef had insufficient bitachon. So why don't we say he's just trying to carry out the fulfillment of God's plans? So first of all, you know, Ramban may or may not, this pshat may not be in with that medrash, but fundamentally I don't think it's a problem. Because what Rashi is telling us is something else. Rashi is telling us Yosef's motivation there was not the fulfillment of the dreams. It was trying to get out of jail. And for some reason, asking the Sar Mashkin to remember him was a lack of bitachon. Now, in its own right, that's something very hard to understand, because you know that we're supposed to generally do Ishtadlos, so what's so bad about reminding him? If you remember about a month or two ago, during one of the question-answer sessions, we actually addressed that, and we suggested that the problem was an aspect of desperation to be botach al rehavim, as Rashi quotes, to rely on wicked people. And that was an inappropriate level of bitachon, at least for someone like Yosef. But the answer is, I think, the main difference is that was not done in order to carry out the dreams. That was just to get out of jail. So that's the problem. Interesting question, though. Okay. Gam ha'inyan ha'sheni she'asa lahem begavia. Oh. So now we have to ask, what about the story? This is what we asked before, right? The story of the Gavia. How does that play into the fulfillment of the dream? Lo shetia kavanaso letzaram. The intent there was not that he caused them pain. Aval chashad ula yesh lam sin'a b'vinyamin. He was afraid that maybe they hated Binyamin. Sheyikan'u oso b'ahavas avihem kekinaso bo. Just like they were jealous of Yaakov's favoritism towards Yosef, which caused them to eventually sell Yosef and nearly kill him, so too, Yosef suspected them of having that same kin'ah towards Binyamin. Oshema, in which case Binyamin's life was in danger. Oshema yirgish Binyamin, shahaya yadam b'Yosef, v'noldu b'neim k'tata v'sina. Ve'al kain, lo ratza she'elach iman Binyamin, ula yishluchu bo yadam, ad badko osam b'avasa. Very interesting idea. So, you know, what happened? We know that Binyamin presumably replaced Yosef as Yaakov's favorite child. He was the only one left from Rachel. And therefore, he was afraid that they might harm him. Now, he wasn't afraid that they would harm him on the way down to Mitzrayim. Why? Because they needed him. But he was afraid that they would harm him on the way back. So, what's the idea? The idea is that the purpose of the test, of the second part of the story with the goblet, is to make sure that they basically done tshuva so that Binyamin would not be in danger. So that actually didn't, technically speaking, have to do with the fulfillment of the dreams. Along similar lines, you know, I once heard that he wanted to actually give as a favor, this is not what the Ramban says, but along similar lines, as a tova to the brothers, the idea for them to have the chance that they should show him that they truly repented. In what sense? Because now, again, they had every reason It's like the famous Rambam. What's tshuva shlema? You're in the same situation, but you do a different thing. So they had they had a chance. You know, Binyamin, like we said, was the replacement of Yosef. You know, they had a reason to hate Binyamin as they had a reason to hate Yosef. And yet, instead of hating him, they stick out their necks to save his life, right? And that not only showed Yosef that they had repented and they wouldn't harm Yosef, they wouldn't harm Binyamin, but even further, it gave them a chance to show Yosef that really they had totally repented, right? It's not enough that they just said it, but they really showed them. Anyway, so that's what the Ramban says. V'lezen iskavnu bo rabboseinu b'bereishis rabba. So this is what Chazal say in Bereishis Rabba. You have on the bottom, in footnote number 2, the actual medrash. Amar Rabbi Yechia, Rabbi Abba, kol advarm sha'ata korei shediber Yehuda b'fnei achiv, ad sha'ata magia v'lo yachol Yosef lihisapek, haya bo pius liyosef pius lecha, pius lebinyamin, pius liyosef, ra'a hayach no se nafsho al banel shal rachel. So the purpose, part of, there's a pius, there's three goals accomplished, but the pius liyosef was that it gave the brothers a chance to show how they were willing to, again, be moser nefesh for the child of Rachel. V'chein an yomer, shekol an yanim ha'elash hayu b'yosef, mechachmaso b'pisron ha'chalomo. So I say that all these things happened due to his wisdom and the interpretation of the dreams. Ki yesh l'tmo ha'acha shamad Yosef b'mitzrayim, yamim rabim b'haya pakid, the Nagid Bevei Sar Gadol B'Mitzrayim. After all, Yosef was already a very important person in the government of Egypt. Eich lo shalach ksav echad laviv lo diol l'nachamo. Why didn't he send one letter to his father to let him know that he's alive, to comfort him? Ki Mitzrayim karu l'chevron k'shisha yamin. Mitzrayim's only 6 days away from Chevron. Ve'ilu haya mahalech shana hayra'ui lo diol l'chvod aviv. Even if it was a 1 year's journey, he should have done that in order to let his father know. V'ikar pidyon nafsho, the Yifdenu B'Rov Mamo, right? He should have spent whatever it took to let his father know. Aval Hiroa at Ki Hishtachavayas Achiv Lo, Vigam Aviv V'Cholzaroito, Yafshar Lios Ba'artzim. He understood that the brother's bowing would not take place in his own land. Vayamakom Lioso Sham B'Mitzrayim B'Roso Atzlachaso HaGadula Sham. And when he sees himself rising to prominence in Egypt and he sees the whole the famine and the like, that's when he makes his plan. He understands, you know, why is Hashem sending this famine? Why is he making me so prominent? It's in order to be able to allow these dreams to be carried out. Certainly after he hears the dream of Parosh and his Barlo, Kiavo Kulam Shama Vies Kaimu Kol Chalamosav. He knew that they were all going to come and that the dreams would be fulfilled. So in the next sources, you have some other sources that that deal with, that perhaps also allude to similar ideas. The source right below is from the Netziv. So it's a very similar idea to Ramban. He goes so far as to say in the last line that's bolded, Vim lo yasa kein, if he didn't do this, if Yosef didn't do this, kimo koveshes nivuasa, it would be like a Navi not revealing his nevuah. Again, big chiddush, because here he wasn't told to do this, but that's what the Ramban says. And again, the Gemara says a very important idea. This reflects a general principle. Obviously, we're not nevi'im, but a general principle, which is that besides our job, which is obviously to do mitzvos and follow the halacha, we have to do what we can to be mekayim ratzon Hashem in the world. Now, because we're not Nevi'im, that doesn't grant us the license to do what would otherwise be a moral act, like we said before. But it does mean, to some degree, for us to start to think about, you know, what would Hashem, you know, what is good for Hashem in this situation? Now, again, we have to be very careful about that, because we don't always know. But that's still something that that we need to do. Okay, let's read on a little bit. Now, let's skip to the next Ramban, which is from a little earlier, actually. From a little earlier, a very fascinating idea, which is, we said, when was the second dream fulfilled? Right? We don't know in the psukim when that would be. So skip to the end where I have it underlined. Aval inyan ha-chalom, ki ha-shemesh ramaz li-Yakov, ve-arech ramaz l-bnei ve-so, v'chol nashav shebahen hayu toldosav. So who is the Arech? Rashi, I think, says it was just Bilha. He says the Arech was bnei ve-so, v'chol nashav. So, I guess the three remaining wives. V'yermoz, ki kol toldosav ishtach ha-vulon. The idea is that all of Yaakov's progeny would bow to Yosef. Vehem kol shivim nefesh yotzei yirecha. Who are they? The 70 people, or almost 70, right? Yosef was technically one of the 70, but basically all of the descendants of Yaakov. Ki kulam ishtachavu bivo amilav. Because they all did bow when they came down to him. Ve'chad asar kochavim elu achiv, ashtachavu lo bifnei atzman, terem baleim, the 11 stars were the brothers had already bowed to him. Kedachsev ve'avol Yosef ha'baisa ve'aviyu es ha'mincha asher bi'adam, ha'baisa v'ishtach v'lo ha'payim artzam. So it's interesting. The Ramban assumes, though again, it's not in the Pesukim, that when Yaakov, when everybody came down to Egypt, they all did bow to him. Even though that's not recorded. You know, in Parshas Vayechi, we do have Yaakov showing Yosef kavod, even though he was his father, and he was actually sick because of Yosef's position. But Ramban assumes that since these dreams were prophetic, it must be that they were fulfilled at one point. And presumably, that is when it happened, when they came down to Egypt. So, with that in mind, I think we're going to stop a little earlier here tonight. I apologize because I don't want to leave my kids alone for too long. But so everybody should have a good night, a Freilich and Chanukah, a good Shabbos, and I guess I'm not going to be here next week, but something even better, and not just donuts. Okay. And it's 8 o'clock for next week.
Yeah.